All right, I'm going to start with an easy question, I think. How many here have flown on an airplane? A lot of people, okay. So for those that have flown, what's one of your least favorite things about flying? And I'm not talking about the lines or the cramped seats, but the actual, Jayden's a big flyer, but the actual flight itself, one of the least favorite things about flying?
Turbulence.
Anything else? Oh yeah, the pressure change?
The cost of food.
Okay, yeah, the cost of food on the plane, that's true. Yeah, back in the day, they used to serve free food, right? Turbulence, right? So I'd say that's probably the most popular thing that people will say they struggle with when flying. So I'm in the aerospace industry. We always talk about clear and level flight, right? When you're flying, you wanna have clear and level flight. Kind of like smooth and steady sailing. But when you look at life in particular, it's really that way, right? There's a lot of things that we have to deal with. And so you have to adapt, you have to adjust to some of the things that come our way. And the more I talk to people and ask them about what's going on in their lives, there's a lot of turbulence that people are going through, right? Both personally and also in their work lives. What I also find interesting is when I talk to people and I know what's going on in their lives, a lot of people live in denial. You could ask somebody what's going on, and I don't know if you've ever heard this, they'll say, couldn't be better. Think about that. Now, maybe they're really positive and humble, right? But couldn't be better. Like, think about that. Not one thing in your life could be better. I guess if you're a believer, you're dead. You're with Jesus, right? So it couldn't be better. The other one I'll hear is, I don't know if you've heard this, as you ask somebody what's going on, and you might know what's happening in their lives, they'll say, I'm living the dream. Ever hear that? I'm living the dream. And if you look at what's going on in their lives, it's more like a nightmare, right? It's not the dream. So the question that I'm going to have for us this morning is, how do we deal with the turbulent times that come our way? Right? It's not going to be smooth and steady sailing or clear and level flight all the time, right? How do we endure some of the difficulties that come our way in life, right? Because they're going to come. There's going to be fires, there's going to be storms, there's going to be trials. And how do we endure these times? Brother John brought a message a few weeks ago, and he shared a story about the sailor and his mate, Samuel, I think was his name, right? I don't know if you remember that. So they're in the boat, and there was waves, and there was wind, and the water was lashing up against their faces. Where was the sailor's eyes focused? It was focused on his home, right? The safety, the security, and the solitude of his home. So how do we endure through the trials and the fires that life's going to bring us? I'm going to cut right to the chase. We endure by fixing our eyes on Jesus. Right? That's how we endure. We endure by fixing our eyes on Jesus. Kathy and I will talk, and we'll talk about what's going on in people's lives and what's going on in our lives. And invariably, we always come back to this same conclusion, right? If it works. Is it moving up there?
Hit enter. And then your arrow keys. It's not progressing. I wonder if we tap the screen. Okay. Now it should be good with the arrows.
So there it is, right? As we go through the trials, as we go through the storms, right, where would we be without Jesus, right? We need to be fixing our eyes on the Lord. Now, sometimes, as believers, we'll say, why does life as a believer have to be so difficult, right? Have you ever asked that question? Why does life as a believer have to be so difficult? The bottom line is this, though, is, like I said, the more I talk to people Whether you are in the church or out of the church, there's going to be difficulties, right? We're going to face trials in our lives. And personally, I'd rather face those trials with the Lord by my side than not by my side, right? I'd rather have Jesus by my side than without him as we go through these trials. And there's a great promise found in Romans that I'm going to share with you this morning. And there it is, right? It's a very familiar verse to us that grow up in the church, right? He will work all things together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purposes. Very familiar verse for us when we're going through tough times, right? We're going to keep saying to ourselves, he will work things out for good. He will work things out for good. He will work things out for good. It's almost like we're saying it to convince ourselves that he's going to work things out for good. But I want to focus on a subset this morning. He's going to work all things together for good to those that love God, right? That's what I'm going to focus on a little bit this morning. I've heard it said before that if we could only grasp how much God loves us, how much Jesus loves us, the love of Jesus, if we could grasp that, that would be the game changer for our lives, right? And I'm not going to argue that point because it can be the game changer. But the question for us this morning is, do we love him back? Right? Do we love him back? We sing the song, "Oh, how I love Jesus," right? "Oh, how I love Jesus." What does that really mean to us? If you love somebody on this earth, there's things that we do for them, right? There's things that we do for our loved ones. Kathy and I were just at Costco yesterday, not the superstore, sorry, Jeff. We're at Costco, and we walked by the flower aisle. And I said to her, I'm going to try this. "You don't bring me flowers anymore." And she said, no. "You give me flowers, you stop giving me flowers," right? So I love Kathy, and I used to give her flowers. There's things that we do for the people that we love, right? So the question for us this morning is, do we love him back? And here's what it says in John 14. And this is Jesus speaking. "If you love me, you will keep my commands." Right? And he repeats this a number of times in the book of John. So it's not an idle thing. Now, this isn't about legalism. It's not about being saved. That's not what we're talking about here. It's a heart condition. Right, of being surrendered and submitted to what God has called us to do. Right? "If you love me, you will keep my commands." Brother Dave brought a series of messages to us, I believe it was last year, where he spoke about the family. And he had different names for fathers and wives and children and workers. I'm not going to try and repeat them because I was trying to remember them and I couldn't quite find it in my notes. But he spoke about the roles of husbands, right? What God called husbands to do, what he called wives to do, what he called workers to do, what he called children to do, right? Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Love them just as much as you love yourself, right? Lay down your life for your wife, right? So that's a command for us as husbands, right? "If you love me, you will keep my commands." Wives, respect your husbands, right? Submit to your husbands. Win them over without a word, right? Be reverent to them. Children, obey your parents, right? Honor your parents. If you're a worker, right? Work with diligence. Avoid eye service. Eye service means don't only work hard when your boss is looking, right? Work as you would work unto the Lord. These are commands for us, right? And so these things please him, right? If we do these things, it pleases him. So how are we loving God back? How do we show him that we love him? We say that we love him, but what do we physically do in our hearts and our minds to actually say that we love him? So back to this verse. He will work out all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So I just underline all things, right? All things means all things. So whatever it is that you're going through, he can work it out for good. So name your thing. Whatever that thing is, whatever you're facing this morning, he can turn it around for good. Now what that means is, he's going to get the glory out of it, right? It doesn't mean that it's actually going to maybe turn out the way you want it to turn out, but he's going to get the glory out of it. He's going to turn it around for good. Sometimes for myself and for others, when we see or face trials, we look at them from a human perspective, right? And we minimize God and we bring him down to our scope, to our size. Kathy and I were talking a few years ago, and we're just talking about how the Lord is working in our lives and other people's lives, and she said, well, he's doing a million things at once, right? Well, the reality is it's just the same, because we know that he's doing much more than a million things, right? But it's just a concept of all the things that God can do. I've heard it said before, and we talked about it here, that he's giving us even the breath that we're breathing right now, right? Even the breath that we're breathing, he's giving us right now, right? This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it. He gives breath to everyone, life to everyone who walks the earth, right? So I looked it up. There's about 8.3 billion people on planet Earth right now. So if he's giving breath to each and every one of us, he's doing at least 8.3 billion things at once. Yeah. Right? Amen. We serve a really, really big God. But sometimes we bring him down to our size and to our scope. Right? Here's it right here. Isaiah 55 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. There's some friends of ours that are going through a difficult time right now. It's a Christian brother that he was single for many, many years, right, well into his 40s, and was wanting to find a spouse. And he found a spouse last year. They got married. And just this spring, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, right? A very difficult time for this family. Immediately rushed to the hospital. All the tests, the treatments. The doctors didn't really give much hope to this young lady. But as believers, they were praying. They were crying out to the Lord. They had an army of people praying for her. They would bring their Bibles into the hospital room and pray for this young lady, right? They would read the word to her. They would bow before the throne of grace, and they would plead for God to intercede. And miraculously, her condition started to improve, right? The nurse in the room, who wasn't a believer, said, you guys are Christians, right? Yeah, we're Christians. I see that you bring your Bible. Yeah. You guys are praying to God. She said, science didn't improve this lady's condition. I believe it's because of your prayers that the condition changed. Amen, right? See, he's working all things together for good. Right? As I spoke to this gentleman, and the condition still continues, so there's much prayer that's still needed. He realized that perspective, right? As hard as it is for him to see his wife going through this, the fact that this one nurse was exposed to the gospel and potentially comes to Christ. He's working all things together for good. See, when I pray for this lady, I'm praying that she's healed. That's how I imagine all things working together for good. right? I'm still praying that, but his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And his ways are higher than my ways, right? He is going to work all things together for good. As we go through the difficulties of life, and as we go through the trials of life, they may seem sometimes insurmountable, right? For this gentleman, Paul is his name, it seems like it's a mountain that they can't climb. But as we fix our eyes on Jesus, there's a peace that starts to come within our hearts, right? He explained this to me. He says, Ron, it's really difficult, but the more that I pray, the more that I seek the Lord, I'm finding peace in the midst of this turmoil. So God will give us this peace, in the midst of our chaos. And as we focus on Jesus, faith starts to rise up within us, and the truth starts to set into our hearts, right? And faith is such an important thing, right? I was thinking about that this week. Faith is crucial for us as believers, right? We need great faith. And here is what it says right now in the book of Hebrews. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him, right? Believes, not believer, right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you look at this verse, if you love me, you will keep my commands. If you keep his commands, it pleases him, right? So what do you need to please him? You need faith, right? And, you know, back to our verse here. He will work all things together for good to those who love him. If you love him and you keep these commands, it's going to please him. How do you please him? You need faith, right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So how do we get this faith? Because we need it so much. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of God, right? We believe in Jesus when we study his word, right? We recognize the truth of the cross. We recognize the truth of him being risen, and we believe that, and that grows our faith. It's an interesting concept where in the North American church, it's almost like pastors and leaders in the church have to plead to their congregation to be in the word, right? If you go to churches in North America on this Sunday morning and you surveyed, how many of the believers were studying and meditating on God's word every single day? I don't know how great the results would be. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's so, so, so important. I've heard it said before, big faith, big experience of God. Little faith, little experience of God, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. There are two things in the Bible that really impress Jesus, he recognized them, right? People with great faith, he was taken by that. And equally, people with little faith, right? So you need to have faith. Yes. And faith comes by being in the word of God, studying the truths of his word. As we focus on Jesus, this faith starts to rise up within us, and the truth starts to set into our hearts. And here's what it says about the truth. And you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This is Jesus speaking, right? He's talking about the difference between himself and us. And he's talking about being free from the bondage of sin, the bondage of fear, the bondage of doubt, right? The more that we focus on Jesus, the more we focus on this truth, we get set free from anxiety, from fear, from discouragement. As we take in the Bible, these things start to be set free from within us. Hebrews 12:2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. right? Other versions say, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. If you really look at this verse, it says that he starts it, he finishes it, he does all the heavy lifting, right? And the question for you and I this morning is, are we allowing him to do that work within us? Are we allowing him to do that work within our hearts, right? I will see believers that are exhausted. They're tired. They're weary. They're trying to do the work on their own. They're trying to be in control versus leaving it with the Lord, right? He's the author. He's the finisher. He's the perfecter of our faith. He does all the work. We need to submit, and we need to just rely on him and not be trying to do the work on our own. Now, as we go through trials and as we go through challenges, sometimes we lose sight of the big picture, right? And Brother Clinton spoke about the book of Hebrews. He walked us through the book of Hebrews. I think, again, that was last year, right? And he did a great job, and it's a great book for us that highlights a couple of truths that I want to point out to us this morning as we go through the difficulties of life, the trials of life. And there's two of them I want to highlight. As believers, when Jesus Christ died, it gave us the ability to have direct access to the throne of grace, direct access to God's throne. Right, in the book of Hebrews, the temple was done away with, sacrifices were done away with, no more need for a high priest to give sacrifices. All that was gone, right? We have direct access to God's throne. And also, Jesus' blood takes away all our sins, right? So two truths that are in the book of Hebrews that are very comforting and truths that we need to lean on as we go through life. No more need for a high priest, right? We don't need a high priest anymore. Here it is. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Right, we sang about it this morning, right? Grace above grace, right? We can come to that throne of grace, and you're going to receive mercy and grace in our time of need. Isn't that great? Amen? We could go to him at any time, right? Whatever it is that you're going through, brothers and sisters, this great God of ours, he gives grace, he supplies our need, he provides for us, he lifts us up. Sometimes we feel like we may be at the end of our ropes, right? We keep praying and praying and praying, and he doesn't seem to be answering us. I know for me, sometimes when I do that, I'm praying, but it's like I've got a bit of a backup plan in my mind, right? And so he will take us to the ends of our rope so that he can get all the glory, right? So that when our prayers are answered, it has nothing to do with us, and we recognize that it's supernatural. Right? It's something that he did. It had nothing to do with us. Our personal testimony isn't about you, what you and I did. It's about what Jesus did for us and how he saved us from our sins. So Christ's death, as we look at this verse here, provides direct access to the throne of grace. Right? Jesus Christ became flesh not only to die for our sins, but he also became flesh so that he can identify with our struggles, right? We have a high priest who is able to empathize with our weaknesses. So whatever it is that you're going through, whatever struggle that you may have, he empathizes, right? The difference between sympathize and empathize is very powerful. When we sympathize with somebody, we say we are sorry for them. We feel for them. But when you empathize, because you've actually gone through it yourself. Jesus Christ went through it all, right? He understands our struggles. He understands our hurts. He understands the things that we're dealing with. So we could come boldly to that throne of grace. Does anybody need mercy this morning? Right? We all do. And so we could come boldly to that throne of grace so we can receive mercy and grace in our time of need. Great hope for us as we go through the struggles in life. And then the second point, Christ's blood continually takes away our sins. Right? Isn't that great? When Jesus died on that cross and we believed and surrendered our life to him, it took away our past sins. It takes away our current faults, our current failures, our current sins. And it takes away our future sins. Isn't that incredible? Right? Christ's blood takes away our sins. The record of our sins, they're completely gone. They're wiped, they're done away with. They're wiped away. There's no record of our sins in heaven. Right? Jesus is not keeping a record of our sins. No more record of that stuff at all. He's removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. No more record. So, no more need for a high priest, right? No more sacrifices, no more shedding of blood of goats and pigeons. Christ's blood cleanses away all our sins. And I'm going to close with a passage also in Hebrews. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by fixing our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Let us strip off every weight. I just want to touch on that for a little bit, right? Now these are things that aren't necessarily sins, right? If you look at the next verse, there are things that sins that trip us up. But it's saying here, let us strip off every weight. There's things that weigh us down, right? There's things that we have in our lives that can lead to sin and trip us up. But there's things that weigh us down. I'm going to touch on just three of them. There are some relationships that we're in that are weighing us down, right? There's relationships that we need to be on guard for because they weigh us down. Pastor Dave spoke about this a couple weeks ago, right? We need to be equally yoked or make sure that we aren't unequally yoked, right? So relationships are really, really important. It's one of the biggest prayers that I have for our boys, that as they grow up, their closest friends would be those that are lovers of the Lord, right? And so one of the things that we may have to strip away that's weighing us down is our company, right? Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good morals. And sadly, some of the bad company is right in the church, right? I grew up in the church. And sadly, some of the worst influences I had was right in the church, right? So you have to be on guard with even people within the church because they're not yielding and surrendered and submitted to the Lord. So some of the things that may be weighing us down is our company. Some of the things that we are putting into our bodies may be weighing us down, right? Some of the things that we're ingesting may be weighing us down, literally weighing us down. And so we have to be aware of what we put into our bodies. Some of the sites that we are looking at on the internet may be weighing us down. They may actually be tripping us up because they're sin. So we need to be on guard and be wary of things that may be weighing us down. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. So be on guard for our company, be on guard for what we're putting into our bodies, be on guard for the things that we watch on the internet. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Brothers and sisters, as you go through trials and we go through the difficulties, we're called to endure, right? So how do we endure? We endure by fixing our eyes on Jesus. He needs to be the number one thing as we go through each and every day, right? Jesus endured, so we're called to endure. He's the author and he's the perfecter of our faith. Let him do all the heavy lifting, right? Submit to him. Fall under his direction. As we study the word and we see the commands that he lays out for us, let us be obedient to them. We can't do it on our own, right? We need the Holy Spirit to do this work within us. Now, as we go through, you know, the difficulties and the trials in life, he's doing something within us, right? He's creating a greater dependency on him. I've experienced this myself, right? I try and do things on my own, but he will throw these things in our way, in my way, so that we're more reliant on him. He's developing patience within us, right? He's developing this ability to endure, right, as we go through the trials. He's producing a strength of character within us as things come our way. He's producing spiritual maturity. And he's also creating something deep within us as believers. As we go through sufferings, it's producing perseverance, it's producing character, and it's producing hope, right? We don't like them, but he's doing them for a reason, right? He's growing us to be more and more like Jesus himself. And so, you know, my encouragement for us this morning is he's going to work all things together for good, right? And sometimes the good isn't what we think. The good is he's going to get glory out of it, right? Whatever it is that you're going through, whatever trial that you're going through, he will work it all together for good because he wants to get glory out of it. He's going to draw us closer to himself. If you love him, you're going to keep his commands, right? Be obedient to Jesus Christ. How do you obey him? You need faith. How do you get faith? You need to be studying and absorbing the truth that's in Jesus' words that he gave us in the word of God, right? We believe them, right? We are Christians. We believe them because of the truth of the cross. And so we need to be in the word. We have a great high priest. We have direct access to the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace in our great time of need. So go there boldly, right, to this throne of grace. Strip off every weight that may be weighing us down. Right, strip it off and ask Jesus Christ to cleanse us. And endure. Endure. Endure by fixing our eyes on Jesus. Right, as we go through the trials and we fix our eyes on him, peace and faith starts to rise up within us. So that's it. I mean, I've gone through trials. Definitely not like some of us have gone through here. We've gone through a lot of trials here within this church. I was thinking about it, right? Evelyn, think about Evelyn and the Petit family, right? Mikey lost his dad, right? That's a tough trial. But because of it, we grew closer as a church body, right? There's friendships that were forged because of that difficulty. We became a church that was heeding, you know, what Brother Dave has encouraged us to do over the years. Stop coming to church. Start being the church. Through that difficult time, this body of believers turned to become what Jesus Christ wants us to become through his word. We started loving, sacrifice, you know, we did it not because it was selfless love, right? And so we've experienced some of that. I think of, you know, Pauline going through cancer and others, right? So as we go through these things, yeah, we pray for healing and we pray for deliverance, but Jesus Christ is bigger than those things, right? And so through the turmoil, through the trials, fix our eyes on Jesus, right? He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. Let him do all the heavy lifting, right? Don't be tired, weary, worn out believers. No, that's not what Christ came to do on that cross for us. So that's it. I could go on and on. Father, we do thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you're our great high priest. We thank you for the throne of grace that we can go to. We thank you for the sacrifice and the cleansing work of your blood that cleanses us from all sin. And Father, I do thank you for the body of believers and the way that you work within us. I pray that you continue to draw us closer to you, draw us closer to each other. May we be obedient. May we be obedient to your word and to your calling. We do love you, Father, and I just pray that you would enable us to submit and surrender to you. And I pray these things, Father, in your name. Amen.